The rooms were so much colder, written and read by Tiny Pink Mouse. Prologue. Back when they'd first gotten to know him, Shunwei's classmates had occasionally tried to talk him into going out with them. They'd soon given up in the face of Shunwei's carefully maintained and always polite distance. Now, he feels some faint regret that he'd never taken them up on those invitations. If he'd gone at least once, maybe then he'd have been more prepared for how overwhelming it is to be caught in among all these humans. He's been trying to find Li Yun for weeks now, tracking him down to this particular nightclub. He's embarrassed to admit, has been luck more than any skill on his part. The whispered rumours from his classmates had managed to catch Shunwei's attention, where he'd usually steadfastly ignore the personal issues of the children he's surrounded with every day. Anything else would drive him to distraction. Shunwei tries to concentrate through the overwhelming noise and heat and proximity of the humans all around him. He tries to reach out with his dark energy to find any trace of Li Yun. Someone bumps into him, and he loses his hard-won concentration. The girl looks up at him and smiles. Shunwei wishes he could have strode in here in his robes and mask, the people dispersing in front of the black-cloaked envoy, keeping their distance. He ignores the girl, and resigns himself to carefully shoving people out of his way as he moves to a slightly less crowded corner and tries again. Nothing. He can find nothing. Maybe the rumours are just that. Or maybe what he heard has nothing at all to do with Li Yun after all. Or maybe Shunwei is just here at the wrong time. There's no way to tell. If he doesn't find anything tonight, he'll have to come back the next night. He'll just have to endure the place. Perhaps this time, just this once, he could hand the case over to the SID. The SID's penchant for ending every case with a dead suspect isn't something Shunwei can easily accept. But for this particular one, he can't honestly say he would mind that end. And if Shunwei isn't capable of finding there, suddenly, he can feel it through the distracting pulse of all this humanity, the steady flow of dark energy, growing ever so faintly stronger. It takes a moment for Shunwei to figure out the right direction. Even now that he has a taste of the dark energy, this mass of humanity is almost enough to drown it out. Once he gets his heading, he strides forward with haste. He doesn't have time to care now that he's forced to shove people out of his way. If this is Li Yun, and he's using dark energy, then Shunwei's speed might mean a great deal to whomever Li Yun has set his sights on. Shunwei pushes the door to the men's bathroom open. Time stops for the other occupants as Shunwei calls his robes and weapon to him. He seals the bathroom door behind him. He quickly takes stock of the situation, not looking too carefully at the two people he's just stopped in their tracks at the urinal. Only one of the stalls is occupied, the drum of dark energy unmistakable this close. With a wave of Shunwei's hand, the stall door is ripped open. Two people tumble out. The first person falls down to the floor, managing to catch himself on his hands and knees with a grunt. Shunwei feels a flush of embarrassment. He hadn't meant to cause further harm to the human. Li Yun, on the other hand, manages to stay on his feet after a quick stumble, staring at the black-cloaked envoy in terror, one hand still holding on to his now-flagging erection. Shunwei blinks and takes a breath and somehow manages to start on his speech. Li Yun, you have... There's a loud moan, more indecent than pained, from the human on the ground, and Shunwei loses track of what he was about to say. He glances down at the man, still braced on his hands and knees, where he'd fallen. He's right in front of Li Yun. His head is bent down and he's panting, his trousers pulled down halfway, his bare ass in the air like... He wanted it. I didn't... He wanted to... I didn't do anything. Leon starts babbling, voice ready with panic. Shunwei clenches his jaw and doesn't send a blast of dark energy at Leon. Instead, he bags the haft of his guandao into the floor. Ice spreads from where it strikes the floor, quickly flowing toward Leon's feet, freezing him in place, and then covering him in ice. He'll live, for now. Shunwei crouches down in front of the human, sending his guandao away. He can't just leave him here like this, not when he's still suffering the effects of Liyun's power. Shunwei can take him to the hospital, maybe, or... He stretches out a hand without thinking, about to tilt the man's chin up, to check if... He stops just before making contact. Shunwei feels the heat rising to his ears, the flush spreading to his cheeks. He shouldn't be touching someone when they're... Not when they can't choose. Before Shunwei can pull his hand back, the man butts his chin at Shunwei's fingers. Like a cat, he thinks distantly, and lifts his head to look at Shunwei through his eyelashes. His cheeks are flushed, his mouth hanging slightly open. He looks like... Memories flash through Shunwei's mind. Kunlun looking at him. Kunlun's face flushed with passion. Kunlun moaning, breathing out a half-ragged... Please, the man, the child in front of him moans. Shunwei snatches back his hand that has somehow ended up pressed against the man's cheek. The man whines in protest, his head making a small motion to follow Shunwei's hand. Shunwei swallows. His throat is suddenly parched. This can't be. This child can't. Not. Slowly, hesitantly, Shunwei reaches his hand out. He looks at it and wonders how his fingers aren't trembling, and gently touches the man's cheek. The man moans again and nuzzles his cheek into Shunwei's palm. Shunwei's skin burns where they touch. Shunwei draws in a ragged breath, and then whispers, sleep, sending a gentle touch of dark energy through his hand. He's almost too late to catch the boy, man, as he slumps to the floor. Shunwei pulls him to rest against himself. The thought of letting him down to the floor is less than appealing. He holds the boy in place with one arm wrapped around his middle, his head coming to rest against Shunwei's chest. Shunwei bends his head down and breathes in slowly. Even under the smells of urine, sweat, lust, and the chemical scent of aftershave, he can still catch a familiar scent that makes his heart beat faster. Shunwei closes his eyes for a moment and tries to gather his fraying composure. Quickly and efficiently, he uses his free hand to restore what dignity he can to the situation, pulling the boy's trousers up and tucking away his now thankfully near flaccid cock. Rage batters at Shunwei's self-control, at the intimate reminder of what exactly he'd stopped from happening. It was a good thing Liyun was already restrained. Shunwei rises from the floor, lifting the boy up in his arms. He opens a portal, shoving Liyun through it with a burst of dark energy, and then follows after, with the boy carefully cradled in his arms. Chapter 1. Hey, Bao Shu. Zhao Yunlan wakes up feeling like shit, which isn't exactly anything new. He groans, and very carefully tries to open his eyes. He knows from experience exactly how bad of an idea that might be. The light is blissfully dim, and he blinks to clear his vision. Here, a voice says, just as the fact that Zhao Yunlan isn't in his room, or any other vaguely recognizable place, dimly starts to register in his sluggish mind. Drink this. He pushes himself up quickly, not wanting to lie down with a stranger around. and then has to brace both hands against the mattress, keep his head bent down and just concentrate on breathing. Okay, that was a bad idea. Here, the voice says again. It's just water. Drownland takes another slow breath, before lifting his head to look at the source of the voice. The light is too dim to make out the details, but he can tell it's a man, sitting on something next to the bed. Was he watching Drownland sleep? Well, that wasn't disturbing at all. At least Drownland still seems to be wearing all his clothes, which is a relief. From what he can see, so is the other man, which is good. His mouth tastes like something crawled up in there to die, and when he tries to swallow, his throat feels like someone went wild with some sandpaper. He reaches out one just slightly unsteady hand to take the offered glass. This guy probably wasn't drugging the water. If he meant to harm Jayunlan, he'd have had more than enough time while he was watching Jayunlan sleep. Seriously, what the hell? He drinks the water slowly, trying to give himself some time to figure out what the hell is going on. He remembers the club. He remembers ordering something to drink, and then it all goes a bit fuzzy. There are fragments of someone and wanting, and Jonan clutches at the half-empty glass with both hands, trying not to drop it. "Hey, Parsha," he whispers, because he remembers power and looking up at a mask and... Shit, he hisses under his breath. It had to be, right? The man's voice says, and then stops like he changes his mind about what he was going to say. "You're safe now." "Okay, sure. If you say so." Drownland hears his own voice say breathlessly, the sarcasm deep enough to drown in. This would be a good time for his brain-to-mouth filter to kick in, he thinks a bit hysterically. "Should I turn on the lights?" the man asks, apparently choosing to ignore Drownland's words. Or maybe he thinks more light will make Drownland feel less threatened, which... fair enough. "Yeah," Drownland says. "Lights are good." The man gets up from his seat, and Drownland takes the opportunity to drink the rest of the water. He breathes in a sharp hiss and squints as the room suddenly turns bright. Yeah, that's really not doing wonders for the headache. He sets the now empty glass down on the dresser by the bed and takes a moment to look around himself. The apartment is small and apparently doesn't have a separate bedroom. He thinks he can see most of it from where he's sitting. He doesn't really have much time to take it in beyond the vague impression that it's all very neat and stark before he looks at the man standing by what he assumes is the door to the apartment, where the light switch must be. He's wearing grey slacks and a white button-down, with the sleeves neatly rolled up. And then Jayunlan's eyes stop at his face, and it feels like his mouth goes dry all over again. His eyes are probably still blurry from the headache and hangover, because there's no way he's been creeped at for the whole night, or however long Drownlan has been here, but the most beautiful man he's ever seen, who is currently looking at Drownlan like he's waiting for something. Drownlan scoots to the edge of the bed and sets his feet down on the floor. He wants to look down to find his shoes, but he also really doesn't want to move his eyes away from the man at the door. Because he's possibly a creep that kidnapped Drownlan, not because he's unfairly attractive. Or maybe he's just some random good Samaritan that decided to help him. But what are the odds of that happening in Drownland's life? Drownland really wants to know how the fuck he ended up here, but he can live with not knowing, since the much more pressing issue is to get the hell out of there. How are you feeling? The guy asks, still remaining at the door, and Zha Yunlan doesn't know if it's because he wants to stop Zha Yunlan from leaving, or because he's trying to give him room by staying as far away as possible. He can feel his heartbeat thundering in his ears. He just really needs to... Fine. Zha Yunlan bites out and tries to breathe calmly. He clutches at his thighs and looks up at the man, meeting his eyes with all the angry defiance he can manage. Can I leave now? That seems to give the man a moment of pause, a small furrow appearing between his brows. Then he takes a few steps away from the door, but not closer to Zha Yunlan. If that's what you wish, he says calmly. But you might still be suffering after effects from the dark energy. Please, he adds, the plea sounding startlingly sincere. How are you feeling? Well, there goes the hope he was just some random passerby who decided to be disturbingly helpful. Zha Yunlan stares at him. Do you work for Zhao Shunchu? He asks, trying to make it sound like a demand, like anger, like anything else than the half-hopeful whisper it comes out as. Because he should be angry about it. His dad has no right to... But out of all the options Zha Yunlan is trying to think of, that's the one he's suddenly hoping for. The man frowns again, and Zha Yunlan can't tell if that's surprise or confusion on his face. Whatever it is, it smooths out quickly and he goes back to that same polite calm that's kind of starting to get on Zha Yunlan's nerves. No, the man says shortly. Even through that polite facade, there's enough distaste in that one word that it makes Zha Yunlan give a short huff that's too bitter to be a laugh. You've met him then, Zha Yunlan states, once again without much conscious thought. But maybe it's a question he should be asking anyway. He earns a reproachful look for that. I will... answer your questions. Just please tell me how you're feeling first. Zha Yunlan takes a breath. Then another. He thinks about getting up and walking out of there, in his socks if he has to. He thinks about Zhao Shunchuan's secrets, thinks about his own fragmented memories of the night before. He remembers wanting and begging, and please, anything you want, please let me... He can't get enough air suddenly. The earlier low-level nausea surges like a tidal wave, and he's heaving and gulping in air, and... There's a voice, low and calm, telling him to breathe, keeping the rhythm for him, in and out, calm and steady. Zha Yunlan comes back to the smell of bile, his head pounding even worse than before. He feels wrung out, too tired to even feel embarrassed. Here. Zha Yunlan drags his eyes to the man crouching on the floor next to the bed, close enough to touch. He's holding out a handkerchief, and Zha Yunlan thinks that should be funny somehow, but he's too tired to figure out why. So he just takes the handkerchief with a shaky hand instead, and wipes his mouth. I'll get you some water, the man says, and gets up. Zha Yunlan pulls his legs up on the bed and hugs his knees to his chest. He knows it's childish and weak, but right now he doesn't care. In no time at all, the handkerchief is exchanged for a glass of water, and Zha Yunlan takes careful sips of it, instead of gulping it down like he wants to. No one says anything, and Zha Yunlan watches quietly as the man starts to clean up his sick from the floor. At least there wasn't much to throw up, Zha Yunlan thinks quietly. He's not sure if he ate at all yesterday. At some point, the glass runs empty, but Zha Yunlan doesn't move to put it away. He just keeps hugging his knees and watching as the man finishes his cleaning. Finally, an eternity and no time at all later, the man returns to the bedside. "I can take that," he says, and Zhao Yunlan hands him the glass. His hands are steadier now. "That's good." The man takes the glass away and then comes back to sit in the chair still next to the bed. "I'll call you a taxi, if that's what you want. You can leave whenever you want. But I'm worried about you," he says, one statement after another, calm and measured. It makes Zhao Yunlan's breaths come easier, even if part of him doesn't want to be reassured. "Headache," Zhao Yunlan says, realizing what his decision is only when the words are already coming out of his mouth. "And, well, nausea. And I'm sort of sore everywhere, but there's none of that feeling he doesn't know how to put into words. The feeling he's trying not to even think about." "All right," the man says quickly, interrupting Zhao Yunlan's spiraling thoughts. "I can," he says, hesitating enough that it catches even Zhao Yunlan's wavering attention. "Check that there's nothing left. It's been long enough now. There shouldn't be a problem." Zhao Yunlan has the odd feeling like the man's trying to reassure himself more than Zhao Yunlan. It's strange coming from someone who's been eerily calm so far. "How?" Zhao Yunlan asks, his fucking reasonable suspicion finally staging a comeback. There's a long pause, and he watches the man's Adam's apple bob as he swallows. He holds out his hand in front of himself, palm up, and then darkness coalesces in his hand until he's holding a miniature storm in his palm. Zhao Yunlan scrambles back at the sight, and the dark energy disperses like it was never there. "Hey, Pao Shi," Zhao Yunlan chokes out, in a voice that might be a question. "No, it can't be, but there's only so many Di Xing Ren out there. And surely Zhao Yunlan can't have met three of them in one night." "Fuck, but he hopes he's wrong. He hopes this is just some..." "Shun Wei," the man says, which is not an answer at all. "My name," he adds, like maybe Zhao Yunlan might have not gotten it. "Good name? Okay, so that's a fucking stupid response. But he's fucking too busy trying to remember how to breathe properly. Again. He should offer his own name, he thinks, and keeps his eyes down on the bed. But he's pretty sure that the black-cloaked envoy doesn't like Zhao Yunlan's father, and it's not like he'll hear Zhao Yunlan's name and not remember Zhao Yunlan asking about working for his dad. "Don't be rude to the black-cloaked envoy," a voice in his head says, and it sounds so much like his father, all angry disappointment, that Zhao Yunlan wants to rebel out of pure spite. "Zhao Yunlan," his voice comes out smaller than he meant to, and he doesn't look up to see the envoy's reaction. "Zhao Yunlan," the envoy repeats, like he's trying to memorize it or something, like it's important. He doesn't sound angry. "Zhao Yunlan," the envoy repeats, and Zhao Yunlan doesn't know what that tone of voice is, but he knows no one's ever said his name quite like that. "I would never hurt you," the envoy says, and it sounds like a promise, like something profound and deep. "Will you let me check that the dark energy hasn't left any adverse effects on you?" Zhao Yunlan draws in a sharp breath at the words, "dark energy." Silently he curses himself for being so weak, for letting the black-cloaked envoy see him like this. For being stupid enough to insult someone who could probably kill Zhao Yunlan with a snap of his fingers. but they can't even make his body stop trembling. I can probably help with the headache too. Staring down at the bed, Raylan gives a quick nod. The envoy lets out a long breath. Thank you, he says quietly, and Raylan almost wants to look up to see why. But no, still not looking straight at the black-cloaked envoy. I'll have to touch you, the envoy says, and then waits quietly until Raylan realizes that he's waiting for him and gives another quick nod. He hears the envoy move, and then the mattress dips under Raylan. There's a hand against Raylan's shoulder, and it feels like nothing but a slightly cool hand against his shoulder. His breathing calms down a bit, and he tries to feel whatever it is the envoy is doing. Maybe he can feel a tingle of something, and maybe it's just his imagination. Then there's a sort of soothing warmth that seems to spread through Raylan, and he sighs with relief when the headache recedes to something he can live with, only now realizing how bad it had gotten. The envoy pulls his hand back, and Raylan takes a moment to breathe. He still feels sore and a bit nauseous, and the headache isn't completely gone. He feels a bit hungover, and like he hasn't eaten in a while. You need more rest, but any effects left from his power are gone. Raylan squeezes his eyes shut. Thank you, Your Honor, he manages to say, and the fact that his voice stays steady feels like an accomplishment. The envoy hesitates for a moment before saying, Anytime, Raylan. He says nothing about the honorific, and maybe that's the confirmation Raylan still hasn't gotten. Then he feels the mattress shake as the envoy gets up. You should eat, the envoy says abruptly. I'll make breakfast, if you'll stay. You can shower in the meantime, if you want to. There are clean towels in the bathroom, and I can find you something clean to wear. It's like the envoy is suddenly desperate for things to do, and Raylan feels more than a bit overwhelmed. Raylan starts, but then trails off, having no idea what to say. I apologize, the envoy says. You probably want to go home as soon as possible. He sounds kind of disappointed, actually, and Raylan sneaks a quick glance, enough to see that the envoy is looking down and frowning. Not really, Raylan tells the mattress. No, home is not somewhere he really wants to be. The envoy lets out a small, oh. And only then does Raylan realize that he probably took that as an agreement to stay. A shower and some food does sound good right now. And the black-cloaked envoy hasn't seen fit to snap his fingers and turn Raylan into a cloud of dust yet. Maybe that means Raylan shouldn't push his luck. He's bound to cross a line at some point, even when he's actively trying not to, but, well, he's not dead yet. Sure, he says, lifting his head, but still not looking at the envoy. His fingers suddenly itch for a cigarette. A shower sounds good. And if his voice isn't quite steady, well, it's been a trying fucking morning. He can probably be excused. Chapter 2. Coming Back. Raylan takes a last deep drag of his cigarette. The habit's still new enough that sometimes it makes his lungs sting when he inhales deep enough. He swallows any urge to cough and flicks the cigarette away, ignoring the disapproving look he gets from a lady walking out of the building he's loitering in front of. He shrugs, grins, and walks inside. He didn't mean to come back, but now that he's here, he might as well get it over with. He still hesitates another moment in front of the black-cloaked envoy's door. The paper bag in his hand rustles as he grips it tighter. Right. It would be rude not to return the clothes he'd borrowed. Not being rude to the envoy. He can do that. He could just leave the clothes at the door and leave. Surely that's good enough. The door opens before Zhao Yunlan has managed to make up his mind. Zhao Yunlan, the envoy says. His eyes are soft and his lips curl in a small smile just before he ducks his head. Zhao Yunlan realizes he's staring at the black-cloaked envoy's face. His eyelashes are so long. And promptly averts his gaze. Here, he says, and holds out the bag with the envoy's clothes. Your clothes, Your Honor. I just wanted to return them. Thank you, the envoy says, gently taking the bag from Zhao Yunlan, like this was all completely normal, and not either awkward as fuck or one of the more terrifying moments of Zhao Yunlan's life. According to his father, this was the most powerful Dixing Ren there was, and Zhao Yunlan had decided to come back. Entirely sober, not hungover or under the influence of any sort of mystical power. Maybe his dad has a point about Zhao Yunlan's decisions, except, well, fuck Zhao Shunzhi and his opinions anyway. Do you want to come inside? I'm about to start preparing dinner. I can easily make enough for two. Zhao Yunlan could almost imagine the envoy sounds hopeful. Zhao Yunlan's stomach rumbles in response. Right, he's maybe skipped lunch. And breakfast hadn't been much to speak of either. Maybe he hasn't managed to insult the envoy so far, but he sure as hell keeps embarrassing himself in front of him. All right, Zhao Yunlan says, because he's not going to turn tail and run now. Thanks. He follows the envoy inside and is shown to the couch. He shrugs off his backpack before sitting down. Then the envoy apparently decides that he needs to serve Zhao Yunlan tea before getting started on dinner. And sure, Zhao Yunlan can drink tea from a fancy cup while the black-cloaked envoy makes him dinner. The tea is good, because of course it is. There isn't really much to occupy himself with while he waits, and it doesn't seem like the envoy is that big on conversation. Zhao Yunlan isn't quite feeling up to being the one to start talking either. There's a bookshelf with a good deal of books, but no TV to be seen. He thinks about getting up to go look at what kind of books the black-cloaked envoy would keep in his home. But that would be snooping, and probably rude. In the end, Zhao Yunlan kicks off his shoes and pulls his feet up on the couch, angling himself against the armrest so that he can see the envoy's back in the little cubbyhole of a kitchen if he wants to, before fishing up his backpack from the floor. He might as well try doing schoolwork for a change. There isn't anything better to do at the moment. Oh, shit. Zhao Yunlan curses with feeling. He hates fucking maths. Is everything all right? The envoy's voice asks, and Zhao Yunlan looks up to see the envoy looking back at him. Zhao Yunlan hadn't meant to be quite that loud. He bends his head back down and resists the urge to chew on the pencil he's holding. At least the envoy sounds more amused than anything else. Sorry, Zhao Yunlan says, even though he isn't exactly sure what he's apologizing for. Bad language. Loud noise. I just, really don't like maths. Well, dinner will be ready soon. Maybe you can tell me what the problem is later, the envoy says, turning back to his cooking, and Zhao Yunlan lifts his gaze to stare at the envoy's back. The black-cloaked envoy had just, what, offered to help him with homework? Zhao Yunlan bites back an incredulous laugh. That would probably be inappropriate, too. It really isn't long before the envoy is serving him dinner, and apologizing for the lack of appropriate dining-related furniture. It shouldn't be a surprise, considering the whole production with the tea and everything. But it's not like Zhao Yunlan minds if he's eating his dinner at the coffee table. The apartment is tiny, clearly. The envoy had to make some hard decisions regarding furniture. Anyway, dinner tables in Dryon Lund's experience are where you sit in awkward silence and eat as fast as you can so you can be excused. I never expected to entertain guests, the envoy says, still sounding apologetic, before he finally folds down to sit on the floor, opposite of Dryon Lund. Right. He wasn't planning on guests, Dryon Lund thinks, but still somehow managed to have a fancy tea set and dinnerware. Of course. It's fine, Dryon Lund says, patting the air in front of him with one hand. This is better than I've had since... The raw honesty catches in his throat, and he realizes what he almost said. Yeah, maybe better not to think about that right now. He quickly stuffs his mouth full of food instead. Wow, he says in surprise, once his mouth is empty again. No talking with your mouth full in front of the envoy. This is really good. He glances up quickly to see the pleased smile on the envoy's lips. Apparently the envoy isn't immune to flattery then. Well, not that it's flattery. The food is good and perfectly presented, if you ignore the apparently inexcusable lack of dinner table. Come to think of it, the breakfast had probably been just as good last time. But Dryon Lund hadn't really been in a state to appreciate it. They eat quietly for some time, and Dryon Lund really hadn't realized how hungry he is. How much do you know about Hei Pao-shu? The envoy eventually asks. Yeah, not that much, Dryon Lund admits, surprised at the question. He gestures with his chopsticks in the envoy's direction. Why? I am curious, the envoy admits mildly. But I wanted to tell you about the man who attacked you, and I was wondering if I needed to explain things first. Dryon Lund swallows, feeling his appetite dwindling fast. Stubbornly he stuffs some more food into his mouth, knowing that the envoy will wait for him to answer. My father doesn't talk to me about his work, really. But I've overheard things. I know Your Honor is responsible for apprehending and judging decent and criminals in Haixing. And according to Zhao Shunzhi, at least, every Disingren on the surface of Haixing was a criminal by default. But even Zhao Shunzhi speaks of the black-cloaked envoy with grudging respect. But Zhao Yunlan isn't entirely sure why that is. I try to keep them alive, the envoy says quietly, in a tone that Dryon Lund can't make sense of. Li Yun, your attacker, has been returned to the palace dungeons in Dising. Dryon Lund's attention is caught on one particular word, and he looks up sharply. Returned? He asks. Yes, what he almost... He's done the same before, in Dising. His escape is being... investigated. The distaste in the envoy's tone at that last word tells Dryon Lund that there's probably not a lot of hope for that investigation to turn up anything. But Dryon Lund knows exactly nothing about Dising, and can't even begin to guess what the problem is. Li Yun will be executed. The envoy's voice suddenly seems deeper, and his face has gone completely still. The memory of a black mask and black robes is suddenly very clear in Dryon Lund's mind. He tries to swallow. His mouth is too dry. It's a shock to be suddenly reminded of exactly who he's sharing dinner with. Not that he's forgotten exactly, but maybe he hadn't quite realized who the envoy is, after all. But the thing that makes Dryon Lund suddenly want to bow down and ask for forgiveness for being there, for being rude, for anything at all that might have offended, is that he is suddenly very, very sure that what Dryon Lund thinks he knows about the black-cloaked envoy still doesn't even scratch the surface. He is so fucking in over his head. Somehow, Dryon Lund manages to swallow, and then very deliberately meets the envoy's dark eyes. Good, he says. Jiayunlan offers to take care of the dishes. It seems like the polite thing to do, all things considered. But his offer is rebuffed ever so politely, and he doesn't argue with the envoy. If he's going to argue with the envoy about something, he's saving that feat of suicidal bravery for something a bit bigger than the dishes. He's well aware that he should have left already. There's no point in tempting fate more than he already has. But that's not exactly anywhere else Jiayunlan wants to go. Home is never his first choice. At least the envoy is interesting, if maybe mildly terrifying. He's startled out of his thoughts by the envoy's voice. Did you want help with that mathematics problem of yours? Jiayunlan tilts his head over the back of the couch, his spine rising up from the couch until he can just see the envoy standing behind him. Then he flops back down with a sigh. You'll just get frustrated by my inability to learn the simplest of concepts, he says, his maths teacher's words slipping out almost unconsciously. I highly doubt you're incapable of learning, Jiayunlan, the envoy says, like he's stating a simple fact. It's a good thing the envoy can't see the pleased smile Jiayunlan suddenly can't quite hide. It's stupid to feel so good about the envoy's words. It's not like he even knows Jiayunlan well enough to know something like that. Still, he supposes it's a nice thing for the envoy to say. Chapter 3. Back again, Jiayunlan. Jiayunlan is sitting on the grass, back against a tree, a half-smoked cigarette dangling from his fingers. He's staring up through the branches of the tree at the cloudy sky. It's probably going to rain soon. He should have thought of that before leaving. His dad would probably have a long list of things Jiayunlan should have thought about before leaving. If Jiayunlan goes back home now, with his father still at home, there would definitely be a patronizing, "You should have thought about that before leaving," waiting for him. He's not going back. Not tonight, at least. Maybe never. Beyond his wallet, phone, and keys, he didn't grab anything else before slamming the door behind him. See, another thing he should have thought about before leaving. It isn't like they'd argued. Not really. Zhao Shunchu wouldn't deign to argue with his son. No, he just told Jiayunlan how things were going to be. Jiayunlan was going to university. Jiayunlan would dress properly. Jiayunlan would do more and better and exactly as Zhao Shunchu told him to. Yeah. And Jiayunlan definitely wouldn't crawl back home drunk and he hadn't. Not since, well, he hadn't was the point. He takes an angry deep drag of the cigarette. Tears sting his eyes at the burn in his lungs. So where the fuck his dad was coming from with that, he had no idea. Jiayunlan hadn't even shouted at him. Not this time. He just walked out. Jiayunlan takes another drag of the cigarette, then flinches and flicks it away. When all it manages to do is burn his fingers, he fishes out the crumpled pack of cigarettes. Shit, only a couple left. And he's running low on money, especially if, well, if he isn't planning on going home. He sticks the pack back in his pocket. He tries going through his list of friends, figuring out who will let him bunk with them, for how long, and what it will cost Jiayunlan, in money, favours, or other things. Yeah, Jiayunlan's friendships aren't really the deep and abiding kind. The ones that might let him stay for free are also the ones with parents who'd undoubtedly call Zhao Shunchu. But Jiayunlan isn't really feeling like trading blowjobs for a place to stay either. The rain starts abruptly, heavy and cold. The tree offers some meager protection for a moment. Jiayunlan quickly wrenches himself up from the ground. It does him little good, as he's still drenched in minutes. Drownland has options. The thing is, none of them are exactly good ones. So, somehow, here he is again, knocking on the black-cloaked envoy's door. This sure as fuck isn't a good idea, but it might be better than some of the other ones. At least the envoy has already let Drownland sleep in his bed once. He might not mind too much letting Drownland crash on his couch for a night. There's no answer. He'd answer if he was inside. Drownland is pretty sure of that. The envoy hasn't just decided not to deal with Drownland and his problems anymore. Besides, he thinks avoidance is probably not how the black-cloaked envoy deals with things. Drownland leans against the wall. He'll wait for a moment. If the black-cloaked envoy doesn't show up, he'll figure out something. Drownland is wet, cold, and tired, and it only takes a while before he slides down the wall to sit on the floor instead. He hugs his knees to his chest and lets his forehead rest on his knees. He can at least pretend he's warmer like that. There's a hand on his arm, shaking him lightly, and a worried voice saying, "Drownland." He lifts his head and blinks groggily. "What?" he tries to ask, but his teeth are chattering and his tongue feels heavy and it doesn't come out quite right. "Oh, hey, Parsha," he says, when he finally makes sense of who's on the other side of the hand shaking him. Except the envoy isn't shaking him anymore. Apparently Drownland decided to go on shaking all on his own. He should probably stop doing that. He's pretty sure the envoy says something, but he's too busy trying not to shake and misses what it actually is. "Oh, that's definitely rude," he thinks. Maybe he should ask what it was. Or would that be even more rude? The next thing he knows, the envoy is scooping him up into his arms. Well, that's just unnecessary. He has legs. He should definitely tell the envoy that. But his shoulder feels warm against the Drownland's cheek, and that's nice. "Drownland," the envoy says. He only realizes his eyes have fallen shut when he blinks them open again to look at the envoy. Their faces are so close together he can feel the envoy's warm breath against his eyelashes. "I'll run you a bath. Just sit here for a moment," he tells Drownland and sets him down. "Oh, they're in the bathroom, and he's sitting on the toilet seat." Sitting is something he can definitely do. The envoy is back in no time at all, saying something about wet clothes, and it takes a moment to realize he's talking about Drownland's clothes and taking them off. Drownland had decided to go somewhere where no one would ask him to do that. He frowns at the envoy. "You need to undress for the bath," the envoy tells him. "Oh, okay, that makes sense. Of course, the envoy doesn't want him to... Of course. A warm bath does sound nice." Drownland fumbles at the zipper of his hoodie, but his fingers aren't quite doing what he wants them to. "Here," the envoy says, and unzips the hoodie for him. He helps Drownland out of it and then helps him take off the t-shirt under it too. It's only when the envoy is unzipping his jeans that Drownland hesitates. The envoy stops. "You really need to get out of the wet clothes," he says patiently. "Yeah, that still makes sense," Drownland thinks, and after a moment he nods. So the envoy unzips the jeans, and then helps him stand up and shimmy out of the tight, wet jeans. Oh, he must have taken his shoes and socks off already. Drownland doesn't remember doing that. He stands there shivering in his boxers, one of the envoy's arms around his waist, and tries very hard not to lean into the envoy's warmth. It only takes a couple of steps to get him to the bath, and he hisses as the water feels too hot against his cold skin. But then the water is cooling down. Or maybe he's warming up. Because soon it only feels pleasantly warm. Drownland can't tell how long he sits there, just soaking in the warmth. He only gradually becomes aware of the envoy's hand resting at the back of his neck, and the fact that not all of the warmth spreading through him is from the bath. He tenses as the realization hits him, and then forces himself to relax. He's too comfortable to get upset about it now. I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to be wearing boxers in the bath either, Drownland says, not looking at the envoy. You're feeling better, the envoy tells him. Drownland feels weak and wrung out, but yeah, definitely better. His head is a lot less fuzzy too, but he's still a bit too tired to figure out how embarrassed he should be feeling. That's a tomorrow problem. I leave you to handle the rest on your own, then. Drownland hums tiredly in agreement. He's pretty sure he can actually take it from here. Call for me if you need anything, the envoy says, before pulling his hand away. Drownland definitely doesn't make any sort of noise he needs to be embarrassed about. Drownland waits until he's alone in the bathroom, before shimmying out of his boxers. He lets them flop wetly on the floor next to the bath. He wants to take his time, but he can feel his energy levels dropping. So instead he washes himself quickly and manages to get out of the bath without falling headfirst into the floor. Good for him. He grabs one of the towels hanging next to the bath and sits down on the toilet seat to dry himself off. He notices that a neatly folded fabric that looks like flannel has magically appeared on top of a counter. Oh, the envoy brought it there at some point when Drownland hadn't noticed. Which, on closer inspection, turns out to be a pair of pyjamas. Drownland hasn't worn pyjamas since he was a kid. But he can't exactly be choosy right now. It turns out flannel pyjamas are very warm and comfortable, and he can ignore the fact that they look sort of ridiculous for now. He manages to walk all the way out of the bathroom before the envoy appears at his side, holding out a hand to steady Drownland. Thanks, Drownland mumbles, because he knows how to be polite, and he probably needs the help. He doesn't have much choice but to follow the envoy as he steers Drownland to the bed. At least he lets Drownland crawl in under the duvet himself. Here, the envoy says, a bowl of warm kanji having appeared in his hands out of nowhere. Hopefully, not literally. You should eat before you fall asleep. Drownland hums and sits up. He takes the bowl and eats obediently while the envoy watches him. He hands back the empty bowl. Thanks, he says, and then flops back down, pulling the duvet up under his chin, burying himself in the warmth. I didn't mean to take your bed from you, he mumbles, eyes already closed. I don't mind, he thinks he hears the envoy answer. Chapter 4. Waking up is less awkward now. Waking up in the black-cloaked envoy's bed for a second time is possibly even more awkward than the first. For one, this time Drownland knows exactly where he is and why. But there's breakfast waiting for him, and the envoy doesn't insist on talking. Only tells him that there are clothes and a toothbrush waiting for him in the bathroom once Drownland is finished eating. Dressed in a soft grey sweater, and a pair of jeans too loose on Drownland that he can't quite imagine the envoy wearing, Drownland pads out of the bathroom in borrowed slippers and borrowed socks. He still hasn't figured out exactly what to say to the envoy. When do you need to be at school? 8. Drownland answers, happy to put off the inevitable discussion of why he's there by another few moments. Do you feel well enough to go? The envoy asks, looking at Zhaonlan with concern. Zhaonlan breathes out, surprised at the question. He smiles a bit and looks away from the envoy. I'm fine. There aren't really any after effects of yesterday's stupidity. He's lucky not to have caught a cold. Or more likely, he has the envoy to thank for that. He'll have to get his backpack from home first. At least his father will have left for work. He can pick up some other things while he's at it. He'll probably be late for school by that point, but that won't be the first time. And then he'll have the whole day to figure out what to do with himself. The envoy walks over to the chair in front of his writing desk, which had clearly been more important to fit into the small apartment than any sort of dining area, and picks up the dove grey suit jacket to go with his dove grey trousers. In that case, we should both get going. Zhaonlan blinks, then waits for a moment, like maybe the world will go back onto the track Zhaonlan had expected it to be on. But no, the envoy really isn't going to ask him why he'd found Zhaonlan drenched and half-frozen at his door. Well, that makes it all that much easier for Zhaonlan, doesn't it? Except the envoy deserves an explanation at least, after all the trouble Zhaonlan has put him through. I had a fight with my father, he says, cringing internally at how sullen that comes out. And I left home. It sounds so stereotypical. Zhaonlan, oh yeah, right, the angry teenager. I see, the envoy says slowly. Do you mean to go back? No, Zhaonlan says shortly. That was enough of an explanation, wasn't it? He doesn't need to... I don't mind you taking the bed, the envoy says, entirely derailing Zhaonlan's thoughts and leaving him floundering while he tries to make sense of what the envoy just said. But you realize staying here won't afford you much privacy, the envoy adds apologetically. You want me to stay here? Zhaonlan asks slowly. He's still struggling to make any of it make sense. That's why you came here, isn't it? Well, yeah. I wanted to crash on your couch for a night, so I could figure out what to do, Zhaonlan says, landing on complete honesty in his confusion. Ah, well, do you know what you're going to do? Not yet, Zhaonlan answers, feeling defensive. He'll figure something out. He just needs some time to think about it. You're welcome to stay here, Zhaonlan, until you find something else. The envoy smiles, his eyes crinkling at the corners, and his whole face lights up with it. Something light flutters in Zhaonlan's belly. Shit, this is such a bad idea. The envoy insists on Zhaonlan using the bed. Apparently the black-cloaked envoy doesn't need sleep, much, and as such will be entirely fine with the couch if there's any actual need. The black-cloaked envoy also doesn't need help with buying or making food, which is fine enough because Zhaonlan doesn't have much money for the first, and no skill at all with the second. One day, Zhaonlan is going to insist on actually washing up after a meal, but so far he hasn't quite gotten around to having that argument. The black-cloaked envoy also offered to help Zhaonlan with any schoolwork. That at least makes some more sense now that Zhaonlan has finally figured out what the envoy does, when he isn't out chasing Diesingren and other general envoying, but a cunning plan of picking up his damned courage and asking the envoy about it. The envoy is finishing his last year at university and is going to stay there as a teacher. He's a good teacher too, from what Zhaonlan can tell, better than any of Zhaonlan's current ones. But he very much expects Zhaonlan to apply himself to the work, so his help is a double-edged sword at best. The point is, there isn't really anything the envoy asks of Zhaonlan in return for letting him stay in his apartment, eat his food and sleep in his bed, and possibly occasionally steal a sweater from him. It has to be an imposition on the envoy, and Drownland tries to stay out of his hair as much as possible. But the envoy never lets on that any of it bothers him. So, when one night, as Drownland is actually trying to apply himself to his schoolwork while alone in the apartment, the envoy walks inside and sits down next to Drownland on the couch with a heavy sigh and asks, "Would you do something for me?" Drownland doesn't need to think for long before agreeing. "All right," he says, gladly letting his history text fall down into his lap, pulling his feet closer to himself so they aren't sprawled out over the couch quite so closely to the envoy. Maybe he should ask the black-cloaked envoy about history too. It would probably be more interesting than this particular book. How old is the envoy anyway? The way he'd heard Zhao Shunchil talk about him, it seemed like the envoy has been around for a while. He doesn't look old. Do Dixingren even age like humans? Maybe Zhao Yunlan should start keeping a list of things to ask, possibly for when he's drunk enough to actually ask. Your Honor, you'll have to actually tell me what it is, Zhao Yunlan points out, once the silence stretches out long enough that he's pretty sure the envoy isn't about to start talking. He looks at the envoy's profile, sitting so properly, with his back straight and hands in his lap. Drownland's eyes catch on those hands, clutching at the dark blue trousers so that the material bunches up beneath the envoy's hands. "There are Dixingren up here, whose only crime is finding a way to Haixing," the envoy eventually says, his voice calm and measured. Drownland keeps looking at his hands, the knuckles slowly widening. "If they hide well enough, the best I can do for any of them is ignore them." The envoy's voice is still frighteningly calm. He takes a deep breath, his back going even straighter, if that's even possible. Zhao Yunlan has a stupid urge to grab one of his hands. "But it's not easy for them. There are accidents. People grow desperate and..." The envoy bows his head. "Death seems a high price for wanting to see the stars." "Yeah, Jaiunlan is going to take a wild guess and go with bad day at the office. He finds himself hoping that it wasn't his father who'd caused this. Not because he gives a damn about his dad, but because it probably doesn't help to come back and see Zhao Shunshi's son after whatever happened." "Why don't you hate me?" The question almost slips out before Jaiunlan catches himself. "What did you want me to do?" Drownlan asks instead, as careful and gentle as he knows how, like maybe sudden moves or sounds might startle the envoy. The envoy turns his head to look at the Drownlan, and Drownlan finally looks up from those hands. The envoy smiles at him, so bright and beautiful that it hurts. The eyes looking at Drownlan are filled with too much pain for a smile like that. "Help them, Drownland. Help my people." The weight of those words sinks Drownland's heart. He's just Drownland, fucking angry teenager who can't even be bothered with school, let alone anything else. It's too big, too much. He turns his head away and laughs shortly. He closes his eyes and exhales slowly. "Anything specific I can do?" he asks, turning back to the envoy. At least that lying smile has vanished now. "Yes," the envoy says, and Jaiunlan can't look at the gratitude and hope on his face. Chapter 5. Start Small. Zhao Yunlan watches the visibly pregnant woman sway and catch herself on the wall of a nearby building. He stops following her like some creepy stalker and goes over to give her a hand instead. Up close, she looks even paler than he thought, and there are visible beads of sweat on her forehead. "Hey, big sister," Zhao Yunlan says, catching her attention. "Let's get you out of the sun, okay?" He has exactly no experience with pregnant women, despite all the information he's recently been given on the topic. But he'll take a guess that the sun isn't making things easier for someone who isn't used to it. He takes her by the arm, lightly enough that she can shake him off if she wants to. He's not stupid enough to startle someone who might be able to... Well, actually, he has no idea what her power might be. The black-cloaked envoy never actually told him that. No, there'd been a lot of other information that seemed to be more important. She visibly steels herself, but if it's because of him or just the idea of moving, he has no idea. Thank you, she says, and then takes a few careful steps away from the wall. She wobbles a bit, and Zhao Yunlan firms his grip, while she leans more heavily into his support. He steers her slowly to a bench in the shade, helping her sit down. I'll get you something to drink, he says, and hurries off to buy a soda from a street vendor, and remembers at the last second to choose something that doesn't have caffeine. Caffeine might be bad for expecting mothers, which, who knows why, was one of the things the envoy had deemed important enough to inform him of. There had been a lot of general information about pregnancies, on the off chance that Zhao Yunlan would find it useful. She takes the soda with a graceful, thank you. She doesn't hesitate to open it and take a drink, and Zhao Yunlan will take that as a win, or as a sign that she really needs a drink. He sits down next to her on the bench. How long is it until the baby is born? He asks, like that's a thing he would casually ask a pregnant lady. She rests one hand on her round belly and smiles a little. Not long. That's not in the least helpful, but Zhao Yunlan can't exactly blame her for not being more specific. He wouldn't trust a random teenager in a faded t-shirt, ripped jeans and very stompy boots either. He resists the urge to pull out his pack of cigarettes. I should really go, she says after a moment. Thank you again for your help. Are you sure you're okay to walk? Zhao Yunlan asks, almost bouncing on his feet in his hurry to get up. There are things he should ask her. He needs to tell her something. He can't just let her leave. Do you need to go far? I can walk you there. She looks at him with some disbelief. He turns his head a bit and laughs, rubbing at the back of his neck, but then quickly turns to offer her a hand when she starts rising up. It makes her smile at him gratefully before she levers herself up with his help. I need to get to work. It's not far at all, she says in an effort to dismiss his offer. It doesn't sound very convincing. Big sister, you won't let me enjoy your company for a while longer. Zhao Yunlan tries his most charming smile. Hell, it works on girls his age. Sometimes. He keeps lightly holding on to her arm. She smiles at him like he's being cute, which wasn't exactly what he was aiming for, but he'll take it. All right, she says. You can walk me to work. Zhao Yunlan lets her set the pace, and while she doesn't lean quite as heavily on him this time, he can tell that his help isn't entirely unnecessary. What do you do for work? Zhao Yunlan asks, considering her condition. The options seem a bit limited. She starts saying and hesitates for a moment. I work for a seamstress. I repair little things, mostly. You must be very talented. Zhao Yunlan is reluctant to talk more while they walk. She seems to tire enough just by walking. She probably doesn't need one more thing to concentrate on. Besides, Zhao Yunlan isn't sure how exactly he's supposed to broach the subject the envoy wanted him to talk to her about. Hey, Lauga, you couldn't have given me some actually useful advice. This is it, she says as they come to a stop in front of a little store that, yes, seems to make dresses. She hadn't lied about it not being that far either. I might as well walk you all the way there, Zhao Yunlan says, and lets go of her arm to open the door for her. She shakes her head a bit, but smiles and thanks him as she walks inside. He walks in after her because he doesn't really know what else to do. She startles slightly when he takes her arm again, likely having assumed he'd stayed outside. He just grins at her. They're interrupted by the owner, probably, who turns out to be more of a decent human being than Zha Yunlan had expected. She assumes Zha Yunlan is the pregnant lady's younger brother, and neither of them bothers to correct that assumption. Zha Yunlan helps the pregnant lady to the back room, where she apparently does her work. "Maybe you should leave now," she says, an edge to her voice that hadn't been there before. Zha Yunlan takes a few steps away from her, spreading his arms. "Look, I know I'm being weird, but I mean you no harm, big sister. So just try to remember that," Zha Yunlan says, and the last comes out sounding almost like a plea. He rubs a hand down the side of his leg, fingers itching for a cigarette. She looks at him, and he doesn't know what exactly she sees. She takes a seat, sighing lightly as she does so. So whatever she thinks of him, it can't be too bad, right? "Why?" she asks, calmer than he expected. "Because I know where you're from," Zha Yunlan says, and her brow furrows. She looks angry now and slightly scared. "Oh, shit, that sounded kind of vague and threatening, didn't it?" "I'm doing this all wrong," Zha Yunlan mutters. He looks around for a chair, thinks about leaning against the table when he doesn't see one. Then he takes a few more steps back until his back hits the wall and he slides down to sit on the floor. He keeps one knee bent and stretches his other leg out and leans back against the wall. "I know you're from Di Sing," he says, and tries to sound matter-of-fact. "And I know you haven't been here for long, so I just need to ask you, have you been to a hospital about the baby? Because that's how we do things here, and then you go and deliver the baby at the hospital," Zha Yunlan says, anxious to get all of it out, and probably not making too much sense. "And I know teasing pregnancies are a bit different, but apparently at this point not enough that they should notice. Especially not when you're..." Zha Yunlan realizes he's making this weird motion with his hands, like he's shooing something away from his body. He stops and resists the urge to hide his face in his hands. "Just delivering the baby." She is staring at him with an incredulous expression. "Yeah, well, join the club, sister," he thinks. He can't quite believe he just said all of that either. But on the upside, there hasn't been one whiff of dark energy. She picks up what looks like a dress, which is about as much as Zha Yunlan could tell you about it, from the table. She must have been working on it earlier, because there seems to be a needle and thread already there. Zha Yunlan has very little idea what she's doing, except for being vaguely surprised that she's doing it by hand. Maybe she thinks he'll go away if she just ignores him. And if he hadn't promised the envoy, he actually might. "I'm Zha Yunlan, by the way," he says. "Liu Mingxia," she says, not looking up from her work. Huh, maybe she wasn't just waiting for him to leave then. "No, I haven't been to a hospital," she says eventually. "Everything is different here, and there's no one to ask." And she was a young, pregnant woman all on her own. Zha Yunlan smiles wryly. She was doing a lot better than he'd ever managed on his own. "You're very brave, Xiajie." That does make her look up in surprise. She smiles a little, and it makes Zha Yunlan feel like he did something right. He leaves an hour later, his knowledge of Haixing birth certificates, hospital procedures, and related issues completely exhausted. He leaves with a promise from her that she'll call when it's time, and he'll be there to help with what he can. He tells her to call him for anything else too, in case she needs to figure out any other Haixing things. It's a lot more than what the envoy asked of him. Maybe he can just not tell the envoy about that. As soon as he's outside, he finally takes out a cigarette and lights it with his cheap plastic lighter. He inhales through the cigarette with relief, lets the smoke curl up in his lungs for a while, before slowly exhaling. Jailan still doesn't even know what her power is. Chapter 6. Da Qing. Zhao Yunlan has been staying at the black-cloaked envoy's apartment for almost 3 weeks. He's maybe forgotten to try to think of any alternatives, and the black-cloaked envoy hasn't kicked him out yet. Granted, Zhao Yunlan has been on his best behavior, when he remembers, anyway. Occasionally, he'll forget to pick up a wet towel from the bathroom floor, or leave his clothes in a pile on the floor when he goes to bed, or leave his schoolwork spread all over the couch, or other things. They're small things, but the envoy is painfully neat, and Zhao Yunlan tries and forgets. When he remembers and goes back to pick up after himself, whatever it is has already been straightened out or cleaned or picked up and put in its proper place. And the closest the envoy ever gets to saying anything is maybe a shake of the head or an exasperated look. Zhao Yunlan is really just waiting. Sooner or later, the envoy will get tired of it, no matter how well Zhao Yunlan tries to behave. And let's face it, he's still a Zhao Yunlan, and even his best behavior isn't exactly good enough. Still, the black-cloaked envoy asked for his help. Zhao Yunlan is doing his best. He's going to be an uncle, or maybe a big brother, to a Di Xingren baby. He lets himself get fussed over by a Di Xingren couple. He brings food to them, and they have no way of paying back. At school, he spends lunchtime not talking to a student who's just had his powers activated and still cringes at any noise above a whisper. Zhao Yunlan found him crying and holding his ears, and he didn't know what to do. They aren't at all what Zhao Yunlan had imagined, but he still has nightmares about. Zhao Yunlan knows there's more he can do. There's a message on his phone from a number that isn't in his contacts. It's been there for months now. When you want to talk, it says. It isn't signed. He was going to answer at first, but then he waited, and waited, and waited. But he needs to now. The black-cloaked envoy asked for his help, and Zhao Yunlan can do more. So he messages a time and place. He doesn't look at the phone until there's the sound of a new message. It's only a short affirmative, and he stuffs the phone into his pocket. Zhao Yunlan sits on a park bench, one foot up on the bench, one arm slung over the back, taking drags of his cigarette as he waits. Somehow, he's not surprised the damn cat is late. The relief he feels when Da Qing shows up, with his unfamiliar human face, makes him angry at himself. He lights another cigarette from the stub of the last one and doesn't look at Da Qing. Stupid damn cat. Thanks, Zhao Yunlan says because he didn't back then. Too busy being upset at the betrayal to care that Da Qing might have saved his life. For, you know. Da Qing snorts and sits down on the bench. Look at what it got me. I shouldn't have bothered. The cat mock complains. Zhao Yunlan can't help himself. Lazy cat, he says quietly. The words are bitterly familiar. The tone is all wrong. A hand pokes him in the side of the head, and Zhao Yunlan bats it away instinctively and turns to glare at Da Qing. He turns his head away and takes a drag of the cigarette. What did you want? Da Qing asks. He sounds off somehow, which is a ridiculous thing for Zhao Yunlan to think. It's not like he knows what Da Qing normally sounds like when talking. Maybe I just want my cat back. Zhao Yunlan looks back at Da Qing. Da Qing narrows his eyes, and it's easy to read that look of humans. Why do I even bother? That he's seen so many times before. He always thought he was reading too much into the cat's expression. Part of Zhao Yunlan just wants to pick up his damn cat and hug him to his chest, even though Da Qing's always hated that. You work for... at the SID? Zhao Yunlan asks, with another drag of his cigarette. That's the thing that made him angry, but at least it might be useful now. If that thing was in cat form, Drowland thinks he'd be swishing his tail in irritation. He didn't send me to spy on you, or whatever it is you're thinking, kid. Kid? Drowland asks with indignation, because the other part of that, yeah, maybe it's not too far from what he'd thought at the time. I'm a 10,000-year-old cat, that Ching says, puffing up his chest. If I want to call you a kid, I will. That makes Drowland pause. You are? That Ching huffs. You should be honored I chose you as my human, but instead you treat me like... Da Ching cuts himself off when Zhao Yunlan reaches out and pets his hair, very much like he used to pet his cat. He pulls his hand back after a few strokes, and they both just stare at each other. Zhao Yunlan takes one last drag of his cigarette, before deliberately stubbing it out. Da Ching never appreciated the smoke. He barely has time to straighten back up, before Da Ching practically dives at him, burying his very human head in Zhao Yunlan's chest. Carefully, Zhao Yunlan pets his head and Da Ching presses his head into his hand, demanding more. I missed you too, you stupid cat, Zhao Yunlan whispers. After a while, Zhao Yunlan pushes Da Ching away. They're in public, and they're starting to draw more than a few looks. And he still needs to actually talk to Da Ching about why he wanted to see him. You took your mom's bowls and tea set, Da Ching says before Zhao Yunlan can quite figure out where to begin. I didn't want to leave them there. At least they were somewhere where they would be appreciated now. Good, Da Ching says, and Zhao Yunlan has to look away because he gives out a short laugh, the sound bitter on his tongue. So, where are we staying? Da Ching asks. I'll have to ask if you can stay. Jiangnan can imagine that conversation with the envoy. Please, Your Honor. I know there's not much space, and I'm probably getting on your nerves as it is. But can my cat man come stay with me? You're living with someone. Da Ching's voice is flat, but he doesn't seem particularly surprised. Fair enough. It's not like Zhao Yunlan would magically have acquired enough money to rent an apartment or something. It's not bad, Zhao Yunlan says, realizing that his cat might already be aware of a few too many intimate details of his life, and what kind of conclusions those might lead Da Ching to. He insists he's fine on the couch, so I can sleep in the bed. Drylan huffs. He makes me food. He picks up after me when I forget to. He tries to teach me maths. And better penmanship, maybe? If that's something you can teach by example, because he keeps leaving notes for Drylan. The characters written in perfect brushstrokes, even when all they say is that he'd left food for Drylan in the fridge. They're always signed, Shen Wei. It might sort of be working, too, since Zhao Yunlan did try to keep his scrawl at least legible on the notes he left the envoy, telling him where Zhao Yunlan was going, or when he'd be back. I think sometimes I look bored and he starts reading books out loud. But, I mean, it is really boring sometimes. There's no TV, so no games or anything. He stops to take a breath. He's not exactly sure where he was going with all of this anymore. He keeps handing me lollipops every time I even look at a cigarette, Jiangnan adds, figuring that might add some points with Da Ching, who always wrinkles his nose at the smell of cigarettes on him. Da Ching looks at him. And what does he want in return? Nothing, Jiangnan blurts out. Well, actually, that's where I could use your help. I mean, all he's really asked me to do is... charity work. More or less.
Charity?
Well, yeah. I've been giving, like, advice to people, and food to those who don't have money. Jiangnan waves a hand in the air. But they're all teasing Ren. That Ching hisses, sounding remarkably like he does when he's cat-shaped. Then he takes a moment, narrows his eyes, and then grins at a drawing Lan. "You want me to spy on the SID?" he says, sounding delighted all of a sudden. Zhao Lan isn't going to try to figure out a cat's thought process. If it gets him out of explaining the Dixingren part of what he said, he's fine with whatever Da Qing is thinking. Zhao Lan spreads his arms out and grins at Da Qing. Da Qing frowns. "I'm coming over to meet him. And you better make sure there's fish. So much fish." "All right," Jialan says easily. "He'll just have to figure out how to break the news to the envoy at some point." "Yeah, no problem." Chapter 7. That looks like it hurts. Jialan intends to mention the whole thing about Da Qing as soon as possible, even if he has no idea how to actually do that. That intention gets derailed, though, when there's a crackle of electricity in the apartment, and a dark void suddenly opens up, spreading ice and cold air around it. Jialan bolts up in bed, where he'd been idly dozing, lazily sucking at a lollipop. His heart is beating a frantic rhythm against his ribcage, and he gasps in short breaths of air, almost choking on the lollipop. The black-cloaked envoy steps out of the portal. Black spots are swimming in Jialan's vision, and he rubs one hand against his chest, trying to calm down his breathing. The portal fades away but leaves a lingering chill behind. Fog rises from Jialan's mouth with every exhale. He concentrates on that, until his breaths grow steadier. The black-cloaked envoy is still just standing there, in his mask and robe, leaning slightly on the guandao he's holding. "Your Honor?" Jialan asks, his voice weak and shaky. The envoy's hood turns in his direction until he's looking at Jialan. The mask hides whatever expression might be on his face. The black robes and the guandao suddenly disintegrate around him, leaving him in one of his usual suits. The envoy takes a small halting step, like he might actually have needed the support of his weapon, before managing to find his balance. Jialan is halfway to the envoy before he really registers what he's doing. "Hey, Lauga," Jialan grimaces at the name that just slips out. The envoy looks at him, a small, bashful smile grazing his lips and softening his eyes. "It's fine," he says, shortly, turning his eyes away from Jialan. Except Jialan isn't an idiot. The envoy has never opened a portal into the apartment before. Hell, Jialan didn't really know portals were an actual thing. So clearly something is wrong. He takes a hesitant step towards the envoy, which, considering the size of the apartment, means he's close enough that if he stretches out an arm, he could touch the envoy. Moving his arm across his belly, the envoy presses a hand to his waist. Jialan's eyes are drawn to the movement before he quickly looks back up at the envoy's now very blank face. Jialan doesn't know what to do. For a moment, he just hovers there, close enough to touch, but unable to quite do so. "Shunwei?" The name comes out quiet and hesitant. Jialan tenses, but doesn't wait for the envoy's reaction before forcing himself to continue. "Are you hurt?" That too sounds small, almost frightened. The depth of emotion in the envoy's eyes is too much for Jialan to make sense of, and the shutters of that steely resolve Jialan gets glimpses of now and then fall down too quickly. The small, polite smile on the envoy's lips feels like a lie. "I'm fine," the envoy says. "You don't need to worry about me." Jialan doesn't give himself time to think. He takes a small step forward and reaches out to cover the envoy's hand, still pressed against his waist, with his own and presses. The envoy hisses, but with surprise or pain Jiayun Lan can't tell. Yanvoy's skin is cool under his palm, and he quickly pulls his hand back. Jiayun Lan. The envoy closes his eyes briefly. It's nothing I can't heal. All right, Jiayun Lan says. You should sit down first. The envoy nods at that. He walks toward the chair at his writing desk, Jiayun Lan sort of awkwardly hovering next to him. He pulls out the chair for the envoy and then stands there, waiting for the envoy to do something. Slowly, the envoy starts shrugging out of the suit jacket. I'll help you with that, Jiayun Lan says, determined to do something. The envoy lets Jiayun Lan take the jacket, and he drapes it as neatly as he can over the back of the couch. Of course, that gives the envoy time to start on the buttons of his shirt. Jiayun Lan pointedly lifts his eyebrows at the envoy. Wordlessly, the envoy lets his hands fall down and submits to Jiayun Lan unbuttoning his shirt. Jiayun Lan concentrates on each button and tries not to think about anything. His fingers burn where they accidentally brush against the envoy's chest. The envoy holds out his arms, one at a time. Jiayun Lan swallows, his mouth dry as he slips off the sleeve garters and then the shirt. He turns to add the shirt to the back of the couch, taking a moment to make sure he doesn't wrinkle it. The envoy hesitates a moment, before reaching to pull up the hem of his undershirt enough to reveal a set of teeth marks on his left side. Jiayun Lan doesn't try to help with that. Instead, he stares at the envoy's waist. It looks like something, someone, tried to take a bite out of him. The wound isn't bleeding, and Jiayun Lan doesn't know if that's normal or not. That looks like it hurts, Jiayun Lan says, pointing out the obvious. The envoy lets out a small huff. It's fine. I'm used to pain, he says, easily, like he has no idea how horrifying that sounds. Jiayun Lan is thankful that the envoy is looking down at the wound, because he has no idea what his own face is doing at the moment. It looks like it takes quite a lot out of the envoy to heal the wound. His right hand hovers over the bite, and black tendrils of smoke snake between his fingers. Beads of sweat break out over the envoy's forehead. Finally, when he moves his hand away, the pale skin underneath is smooth and unscarred. Jiayun Lan wants to reach out to touch that smooth skin, to feel if there's anything left of those scars, to make sure the envoy is unharmed. The envoy pulls his undershirt back down, and Jiayun Lan startles, quickly looking to the side and away from the envoy. The envoy gets up and calmly puts on his shirt. Jiayun Lan backs up a few steps, so the envoy doesn't need to brush past him. Then he tells Jiayun Lan he'll get started on dinner, like everything is normal and this is just like every other day. Jiayun Lan considers trying to argue, telling the envoy he should rest, that they can order dinner for once. Jiayun Lan drags the envoy's chair closer to the kitchenette and straddles it, crossing his arms over the back and leaning forward. The envoy gives him a somewhat puzzled look, but doesn't comment on the fact that Jiayun Lan has decided to watch him while he cooks. Jiayun Lan updates him on the Dixingren he's been helping. It doesn't exactly take long. I can do more, you know. The envoy glances his way. There's no need. Jiayun Lan waits for the envoy to turn away again. He takes a breath, opens his mouth, hesitates again. That's not true. He's on a roll now, calling the envoy out on his lies. The envoy doesn't stop what he's doing. You don't need to do more, Jiayun Lan, he specifies. Jiayun Lan clenches his fists. He bites back the urge to throw out the first argument that comes to mind. The envoy lifts a lid on one of the pots to check on something. You've already done more than I asked, the envoy continues. It doesn't sound quite as disapproving as Jiayun Lan expects. The envoy stops, bends his head. Thank you for caring about my people. Zhao Yunlan feels momentarily lost. His desire to argue from just a moment ago is completely derailed by the sincere gratitude in the envoy's voice. A warm feeling spreads through him, and he can't stop himself from smiling. He still needs to actually talk about the half-formed plans he has for doing more, but he'll just take a moment first. He rests his chin on his hands, on the back of the chair, and watches the envoy cook them dinner. Chapter 8. Dinner with the Cat. Zhao Yunlan does eventually get around to asking about Da Qing coming over. It doesn't go at all like he thought it would. He barely has to explain who Da Qing is, and the envoy takes it for granted that Zhao Yunlan would want the cat to live with him. What he does have a problem with is the fact that Zhao Yunlan wants Da Qing to spy on the SID. It's not that the envoy doesn't see the value of knowing what the SID is up to. Zhao Yunlan had only really been thinking about getting a heads up when they might be looking into one of the more harmless and law-abiding Di Xingren. But thinking about it, he's pretty sure there's other information that would be of value to the envoy. No, the problem isn't the spying itself. It's the fact that Zhao Yunlan is getting himself more involved. Apparently, Zhao Yunlan shouldn't expose himself to more danger. At least the envoy doesn't think Zhao Yunlan isn't capable of helping. He still wants to tell the envoy that he can take care of himself, but he keeps his mouth shut for once. It's not like the envoy doesn't have a point. Zhao Yunlan can't quite forget, no matter how hard he tries to, how exactly he met the envoy. But it still stings that the envoy thinks he's useless when it comes to anything dangerous. But they're having Da Qing over for dinner, and maybe the cat can help him convince the envoy. There's a knock on the door. The envoy is still in the kitchen, and Zhao Yunlan goes to open it. He waves the cat in wordlessly, just as the envoy joins them. "This is Da Qing, my cat," he tells the envoy. Then his brain stutters to a halt. He never asked if he's allowed to tell Da Qing who the envoy is. He'd gotten distracted by trying to explain his point about getting information from the SID and doing more for the Di Xingren, and he's only now realizing that the question of the envoy's identity never came up. The fact is, they've never actually talked about it because it seemed obvious that that was a secret Zhao Yunlan should keep. "I'm Shen Wei," the envoy says with a polite smile. The cat and the envoy stare at each other for a moment, and Zhao Yunlan isn't sure what's going on there. "You don't remember," the envoy states after a time. Da Qing blinks. "I don't remember a lot of things," he says. He sounds very deliberately indifferent to Zhao Yunlan's ears. The envoy nods, like that settles everything, and then turns away with a, "Come, dinner is ready." Da Qing looks at his back and takes a step closer to Zhao Yunlan. "Who is he?" Da Qing hisses under his breath. Zhao Yunlan shrugs and walks over to the coffee table. He really doesn't know what to say. Had the envoy expected Da Qing to recognize him? From where? The envoy makes all the apologies about his lack of proper dining setup. Zhao Yunlan is pretty sure that Da Qing doesn't care where he eats, as long as there's fish to be had. There are, in fact, several dishes with fish. Zhao Yunlan hadn't actually said anything about Da Qing's request for fish, because maybe he shouldn't make demands about what the envoy chooses to cook. The envoy is already gracious enough to keep on providing food for Zhao Yunlan. It's all pretty much guaranteed to be delicious anyway. Maybe it isn't that hard to guess a cat would like fish. There's a long silence as everyone settles in to eat. Da Qing's eyes gleam at the sight of all the food. For a while, Zhao Yunlan is pretty sure Da Qing doesn't see or hear anything beyond the fish. The envoy quietly adds cabbage to Zhao Yunlan's bowl. Zhao Yunlan furrows his brow. The envoy smiles and Zhao Yunlan ducks his head. "Not in front of my food," that Jing complains. He doesn't even bother to look up as he hoards more of said food. Zhao Yunlan blushes and almost chokes on a piece of cabbage. The envoy doesn't... He just worries about Zhao Yunlan's eating habits. At least, he keeps serving Zhao Yunlan more vegetables whenever he can. Zhao Yunlan peeks up at the envoy. He looks unbothered, calmly using his chopsticks to pick up a dumpling. But Zhao Yunlan can see the slight pinkness of his ears. Zhao Yunlan shoves at Da Qing. "Don't be rude, stupid cat." Da Qing gives him a disbelieving look, swatting at Zhao Yunlan's hand. Zhao Yunlan glares at him. "How is the food?" the envoy asks, like he hasn't noticed any of the byplay. "It's good," Da Qing assures him, stuffing more fish into his mouth. "I like the fish." After the envoy is finished cleaning up after dinner, and Zhao Yunlan still very much intends to be the one doing that someday, he walks up in front of the couch and looks down at Zhao Yunlan. Da Qing is curled contentedly in Zhao Yunlan's lap. He's purring while Zhao Yunlan slowly strokes his back. "If I let Da Qing gather information from the SID, he will deliver it to me," the envoy says, with the assurance of someone who is used to being obeyed. Da Qing stops purring abruptly, his ears flickering. Zhao Yunlan presses his hand a bit harder against Da Qing's back, hoping that Da Qing will take the hint and not say anything. Zhao Yunlan knows exactly how well cats take to being ordered about. "You will not act on any of it, Zhao Yunlan," the envoy says sternly. Then he sighs a little and adds, "without discussing it with me." Zhao Yunlan looks down and grins. Part of him wants to know what made the envoy change his mind, but he knows he better just take the victory for what it is. "Of course," Zhao Yunlan agrees meekly and swallows the "your honor" that wants to follow. Da Qing turns to stare at him with a look that's fairly screaming, "Are you fucking kidding me?" at him. Zhao Yunlan can, maybe, admit that he's not always quite that gracious about authority and following orders. The envoy tilts his head ever so slightly, like the whole matter is settled. He turns his eyes to Zhao Yunlan's lap, or more probably the cat in it. "Will you be staying with your owner?" Da Qing meows, sinking his claws into Zhao Yunlan's thighs. "Hey, watch it, fatty," Zhao Yunlan protests, shoving at the cat lightly. Da Qing doesn't budge, but does retract his claws. "I want a cat bed, and a scratching post, and fish snacks," the cat lists his demands. He sounds like he thinks he's doing them a favor by choosing to stay. "Very well," the envoy says. He holds his arm out to the side, wisps of dark smoke curling around his hand and stretching out. And the black-cloaked envoy settles the haft of his guandao against the floor with a resounding bang, while still in glasses and a knitted vest. Da Qing falls out of Zhao Yunlan's lap, transforming into a human as he tumbles to the floor. He bows his head to the envoy. "Hey, Pao Daran," he manages to say, even if it comes out a bit choked. He turns his head enough to give Zhao Yunlan a side-eyed glare, filled with horrified disbelief. Zhao Yunlan laughs. He looks up to meet the envoy's eyes. The envoy's dark eyes are shining with quiet laughter, and he lets one side of his mouth lift in amusement. He did that on purpose, Zhao Yunlan realizes, and can't help but laugh a bit harder. Chapter 9. Afraid of the Rope. It's 2 weeks later when Zhao Yunlan gets a message from Da Qing, with an address and an explanation that consists of the words "possible Disingran, interview later today, stalling." Zhao Yunlan comes to the very quick realization that the envoy does not, in fact, own a mobile phone, and he will probably not accept Zhao Yunlan going home and leaving him a note as discussing things first. Also, Dragonland doesn't actually have any idea what to do if whoever that Cheng is talking about turns out to be Dixingren. He might have more good than bad experiences of meeting Dixingren by now, but the bad ones left an impression that he prefers not to think about. If it comes to it, he'll still go and figure it out once he's there. The envoy will probably forgive him too. Eventually. He pulls out the envoy's schedule. It looks a bit worse for the wear from being carried around in Zhao Yunlan's backpack, but the envoy's perfect handwriting is still as legible as ever. Then he makes his way over to the university. It takes a bit of asking around, but he finds the right classroom. He leans against the wall and tries not to fidget while he waits. If he was outside, he would be smoking, but instead, he pulls out one of the lollipops that he's taken to also carrying around now, since someone started providing him with them. He pops it into his mouth and sucks thoughtfully. The class finally lets out. One of the other students is talking with the envoy, who is easy to spot in his sharp suit, far more put together than any of the others. The envoy's eyes find Zhao Yunlan instantly, and he quickly excuses himself to get the girl. Zhao Yunlan? He asks, clearly worried. Zhao Yunlan pulls the lollipop out with a pop and straightens from his lean against the wall. Then he realizes that he's not quite sure how to explain. So he sticks the lollipop back in his mouth, pushing it into his cheek with his tongue, and fumbles out his phone. He opens the most recent message and turns the phone toward the envoy. The envoy looks at the screen, making no move to take the phone for himself. Zhao Yunlan is not surprised at the envoy's reluctance. The tragic lack of modern entertainment technology in Zhao Yunlan's own life these days is sad proof of the envoy's attitude. The envoy's posture grows firmer as he reads. "The whole family is," the envoy says, sounding pained. "Their boy is then. What do you want to do?" "I will take them back to Dixing. I can only hope that I can do it more peacefully than the SID would." The calm on the envoy's face seems brittle for once. Like Zhao Yunlan could shatter it with one well-placed blow and expose the regret under it. "Thank you for informing me, Zhao Yunlan." "Wait," Zhao Yunlan says, when it seems like the envoy is about to leave and unthinkingly grabs his arm. The envoy stops and looks at Zhao Yunlan. Except Zhao Yunlan still has no idea what he could do. He just wants to do something. "Thank you, but..." "No, listen," Zhao Yunlan interrupts him, almost tripping over the words in his haste. Apparently, this is the cause that Zhao Yunlan has decided is worth actually having an argument with the envoy about. "If I go there, no one will panic. I don't actually know what I can do yet. Warn them? Find out what happened? We'll figure it out. Please, Shunwei, let me help." Zhao Yunlan's heart is beating too fast. He's still holding on to the envoy's forearm. The fingers of his other hand are hurting from squeezing the almost forgotten lollipop stick between them. He's finally realized why he's doing this, and sure, after meeting all those Dixingren, they're just people who don't deserve bad things happening to them any more than anyone else. But what Zhao Yunlan almost said was, "Let me help you." The calm on Shunwei's face shatters. Not dramatically or loudly, he just looks at Zhao Yunlan, and Zhao Yunlan's breath catches at the sheer weight of the pain and regret in his eyes. Shunwei turns his head to the side. "All right," he says, voice tight. Shunwei doesn't sound angry exactly, but he's definitely not very happy with Zhao Yunlan either. Travelling by portal is not exactly what Zhao Yunlan would call a pleasant experience. There are flashes of things he doesn't want to think about. and it takes a while for his brain to not feel like it's been put back together sideways. "It gets easier," Shunwei had said, holding Zha Yunlan by the arms, while he waited for his brain to stop spinning. "At least it's fast. So, in no time at all, Zha Yunlan is doing some very fast talking to a rather stressed-looking woman. 2 sentences in, Zha Yunlan has the distinct feeling that she is not about to let anyone inside her home, no matter what they say. "Look," Zha Yunlan says, feeling a bit reckless. "He Bao sure knows who you are. He has no idea if she'd know what the SID is, but every Dixingren knows the black-cloaked envoy. That much Zha Yunlan has learned." The woman blanches and looks about to slam the door shut. Zha Yunlan sticks his foot between the door and the jamb, just in case. "Please, I just want to help. It can't make things any worse." Her face tightens, but she does let him inside. Then she bursts out with a somehow both horrified and chiding, "Xiao Lei." Zha Yunlan follows the woman's gaze and is pretty sure he knows what the problem is. He quickly pushes the door shut as the woman hurries over to the boy, literally playing with fire. The boy startles, the fire dancing at his fingertips sputters, and finally goes out. He looks up at his mother with a mix of guilt and fear. "I'm sorry, Mama. I didn't mean to." The woman sags a bit and then crouches down to ruffle the boy's hair. "I know," she sighs. "I know you didn't." She looks at Zha Yunlan with pleading eyes. "He didn't do anything wrong. His power, it's new and he can't always control it. Someone at school must have seen. We called him in sick as soon as we realized." She looks like she might burst into tears at any moment. Distantly, Zha Yunlan wonders who she thinks he is. His age and look doesn't exactly scream authority, or even responsible adult. That she's offering up this stuttering explanation without prompting. Zha Yunlan rakes a hand through his hair. "Okay, so that Qing would know who'd reported them. Not that he's even sure that will help them in any way." "My friend works for the SID. That's the department that deals with Dixingren. They're sending someone to interview you about whatever report they've gotten. They're who you need to be worried about right now." "Hey, Pao Shu will not come after you unless the SID does," Zha Yunlan tries to assure her. She doesn't look like she quite believes him, and he supposes he can't blame her. Maybe he should have thought of some other way of talking her into letting him help. "Is there anything else that can give you away?" "No," she says vehemently. "We've been living here for 8 years. We haven't... not once until..." She looks at her son, her face pained. The boy looks at his mother with a far too serious expression. "I don't want Hei Bao Shu to take me away." His mother grabs him and hugs him to her chest, the tears finally spilling from her eyes in silence. Zha Yunlan cringes at the thought of Shunwei being some sort of bogeyman for Dixingren children. It shouldn't come as a surprise, not after all the things that Qing told him about the envoy. "How about your papers, your identities?" Zha Yunlan asks. He knows enough to ask about it, remembering the Dixingren couple living in an abandoned building who can't even get the jobs. But not much more. She shakes her head. "We paid for everything," she says, emphasizing the last word in a way that makes it sound like it should mean something more to Zha Yunlan. "Is there a Dixingren with the power to forge identities? Is that even possible? Or maybe they just did it the old-fashioned way." Later, he thinks. He needs to find out more about it later. He needs to talk to Shunwei. Oh, shit. He really hopes that when Shunwei said he'd be here the whole time, he meant it literally. Or maybe not. Shunwei will not like what he's about to say.
I might know someone who can help your son learn some control. You'll just have to convince the SID that they're wrong first.
There is nothing at all that could go wrong with that plan, Jiaolan thinks a bit hysterically. He feels a bit like he's been drinking. The kid gets a crash course in lying to authority figures. The funny thing is, at least his out-of-control power has him running a temperature, so him being sick is actually believable. Jiaolan leaves before anyone shows up. Shunwei appears as soon as he's out of the apartment and says he'll be there to make sure the kid's power doesn't flare up at the wrong time. Jiaolan is not feeling like questioning how he's going to do any of that, without anyone ever noticing. He's just going to be grateful that he doesn't have to explain anything to Shunwei. Jiaolan is sitting with his back to the railing surrounding the roof of the apartment building. He's been waiting for several hours now, but he wanted to be close by, even if they had no idea when anyone from the SID would show up. Not that Jiaolan can do anything. A few cigarette butts are lying next to him, and a couple of discarded lollipop sticks. Shunwei will probably disapprove of the littering. Suddenly, Shunwei is just there. Jiaolan doesn't quite know how to ask. Shunwei crouches down in front of him and gives him a tight little smile. I think it worked. Jiaolan feels the tension finally flow out of him, and he sighs with relief. Fuck you, Dad, he thinks giddily. We'll talk to that Ching, find out if we need to... He stumbles over the words, his voice suddenly shaky. We will, Shunwei says gently. You did well, Jiaolan. Jiaolan's breath catches. He can't. He presses a fist to his mouth, squeezing his eyes shut and tries to breathe. Everything is fine. He feels fingers brush against the wetness at his cheek, and Jiaolan just stops fighting the sobs, trying to claw their way out of his throat. Shunwei doesn't say anything, just gathers Jiaolan in his arms and holds him, while he cries on a rooftop about nothing at all. When the worst of the sobs finally settle down, Shunwei picks him up and portals them home. Jiaolan doesn't quite feel up to protesting, even if he knows he should. He still doesn't say anything when Shunwei settles him into bed. Just feels grateful when Shunwei sits on the bed and lets Jiaolan hold his hand. The last thing he knows before falling asleep is Shunwei whispering, "Thank you, Jiaolan," and the brush of lips against his forehead. The end.